Okay, pay attention to me now. Without looking at your notes, what does slide 8 illustrate? No idea? Well, I said without looking at your notes.
I meant for the other slides.
Oh, okay. So you're going to wait until the day before the exam to study all of this, which is the worst mistake?
I know exactly what that is.
Well, tell us.
The ionization of an H2O molecule into hydronium ion and a hydroxide ion.
What single word could you use to describe this?
Ionization.
More specifically. It's auto-ionization.
Oh.
It's the auto-ionization of water. That's what we were talking about. Right. Auto meaning self, because all you need is pure water. No other kinds of molecules involved, just water. And that the auto-ionization of water happens, but only to a certain extent within a population. However big the population is, it doesn't matter. The vast majority of those water molecules in that population, however big the sample, are going to not do this. They're going to just stay normal water molecules, like on the left side, without changing. But a certain fraction, a small fraction, of any population of water molecules at any given moment in time are going to undergo this auto-ionization. So which ones do it changes from moment to moment, but the fraction is the same. The fraction of the total undergoing this reaction is the same. And but just remember that it's if all you have is water, no other types of particles, then the single auto-ionization event simultaneously produces two different ions, right? A hydronium ion and a hydroxide ion. You can't produce one without the other. Ben, I think I mentioned it last time that a hydronium ion, even though it can form, usually does not stick around. It will lose the hydrogen, the proton, I should say, not the whole hydrogen atom. The proton that it receives actually doesn't stick to it very long. The hydrogen ion itself, the bare proton, which is a hydrogen ion, will just be in solution. So you can really think of this as happening to a single water molecule. A single water molecule can lose a proton from one of the two hydrogen atoms, and that will leave behind a hydroxide ion. Plus, it will put that proton that's lost by itself, which is a hydrogen ion, into solution. So you can think of it as a single water molecule auto-ionizing into a hydroxide ion and a hydrogen ion. And you can't make one without making the other. Therefore, the number of positive ions exactly equals the number of negative ions if all you have is water, because you can't produce one without producing the other. Okay, now, that was review, really. I've talked about that before. Slide 9, we can talk about why this matters chemically as we discuss what's shown here, which is the pH scale. Now, the pH scale is just one of many P scales, which are just invented scales within science for convenience. There's many kinds of P scales. They start with P to indicate that they're a P scale. But this one specifically is pH, where the H refers to hydrogen, but not hydrogen atoms, rather hydrogen ions. First, though, let me say something about P scales in general. They are just arbitrarily defined scales by scientists, just for the sake of simplicity. They make life easier. There's all kinds of situations in science where you are working with numbers that are either very small or very big, and they just become inconvenient to write out the actual values of them. If they're really small, it's 0.000 something. If they're very big, there's a lot of trailing zeros. It's just a pain in the ass. So instead, we express them logarithmically. So P scales in general are logarithmic scales. They are not linear scales. Okay? The average person is not actually used to using logarithms in daily life. Most people aren't, even though you've probably learned logarithms. Have you learned logarithms? Okay, well, a logarithm is... There's infinitely many logarithms. There's a logarithm scale for every chosen number that we call the base. And so there's a natural logarithm that uses the number e as a base, but you can choose anything as the base. If you choose the number 10 as the base, then that's the base 10 logarithmic scale. And that's the one that we use with the p scale here that we're looking at. But assuming that the base is 10, I mean, what I'm going to define as the logarithm would be true of any base, but let's just say the base is 10. The base 10 logarithm is the exponent that you would have to raise the base, which is 10, to, in order to equal a certain number. So the logarithm of x, whatever x is the number you would have to raise 10 to as an exponent in order for it to equal x. All right? So if x equals 100, for instance, what is the base 10 logarithm of that? It's what? Go ahead. No, it is not 10 to the 2. 10 to the 2 is 100. The logarithm of 100 is not 100. The logarithm of 100 is 2. Because the logarithm of a number is the number that you have to raise the base to as an exponent in order to equal that number. Right? 100 equals 10 squared, or 10 to the 2. Therefore, the log base 10 of x equals 2. You see that? What's the log of 1,000? 3, because 1,000 is 10 to the third power. So the log of 10 to the third is 3. It's the exponent that you have to raise the base to equal that original number. Everyone get this? That's what you said about dimensional analysis, though, when we went over it. And so I'm not trusting you. Nothing personal, but I'm saying that some of you don't really get this. Tell me if you don't. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, let's do a couple more, because these are examples in one direction. What about just 10? What's the log of 10?
1.
1, because 10 is 10 to the 1. What about 1? The log of 1?
Negative
1. No.
0.
0, because any non-zero number raised to the zero power is 1, right? 10 to the 0 equals 1, and therefore the log of 1 is 0, the 0 you have to raise 10 to in order to equal 1. Now what you gave me as your answer, negative 1, that would be the log of 1/10, because 1/10 is the same as 10 to the negative 1. And therefore, the log of 1/10 is negative 1. Okay? The log of 1/100, which is the same as 10 to the negative 2, is negative 2. Does that make it better? Okay, now, go ahead.
Is
saying you always imply that it's a basic thing.
If I say log, usually when we write the word L-O-G rather than L-N, it's assumed that the base is 10. So you wouldn't have to write this 10 subscript if you use L-O-G. For any other base, because you can choose any base you want, you would have to write it to, because 10 is assumed. It's always best to write 10 anyway, because then you don't have to assume anything. But L-O-G by itself really means the base 10 log. Now, why is this? They're inconvenient in real life because we're not used to using them, but why does this make it more convenient? Because logarithmic scales in a small space can represent a huge range in numbers. All right? So I said that P scales are logarithmic, not linear. You're used to linear scales, like a ruler. A meter stick, for instance, is a linear scale. Every increment that looks the same size is the same size. A centimeter is a centimeter, no matter where it is on the scale. Well, the pH scale is not linear. It is logarithmic. And every, even though they don't have all the numbers here, you could go 14, 13, 12, you know, one step at a time. Each step is not the same size as any other step. Even though they look the same the way they're pictured, they're not the same. In a logarithmic scale, each step is 10 times or one order of magnitude bigger or smaller than the step above or below it. All right? Everyone good with that? Now, I'm sure you have seen the pH scale before. And you probably know that the pH scale has something to do with acidity. The acidity of a solution. We've been talking about solutions, and this entire course really is about solutions because that's what you find inside a cell. An aqueous solution. Water is the solvent. You have all kinds of solutes in there, and chemistry happens. But the kind of chemistry that happens depends on the pH. And the pH is a numerical indication of hydrogen ion concentration. Acidity is just that same thing. pH is the pH scale is an indication of either acidity or alkalinity. Because solutions can be either acidic or basic. Another name for basic is alkaline. Or they can be neither, which is neutral. Okay, now, since you've seen the pH scale before, at least most of you, you've probably noticed that it's centered on 7. Which pure water would be at, because pure water is neutral. It's not alkaline and it's not basic. And maybe you've said, well, this seems like a pain in the ass to center this scale that we're inventing on 7. Why do that? Why not make it 5? Because your humans have 10 digits, so they've evolved ways of thinking that 10 is special. 10 is not special. It's just easy for us because we have 10 digits. But anyway, you might have thought, why put it at 7? That seems like an odd choice. Well, that is not a choice. That actually is empirical, which means it comes from actual data, real results. So in the previous slide, I said this autoionization of water happens to a certain degree, at any given moment, a tiny fraction of the overall population of water molecules is undergoing this autoionization. Okay? Well, that's where the 7 comes from, so let me explain that. First, let me give you a mathematical definition of pH. P scales are not only logarithmic, they're negative logarithmic scales. So pH is the negative of the base 10 logarithm of the hydrogen ion concentration. We can denote concentration in chemistry by putting whatever we're talking about in brackets. The brackets means concentration of whatever's inside it. And hydrogen ions, H+, what are the other two names that that goes by? When you see H+, what should you be thinking? Proton or hydrogen ion. They all mean the same thing. Okay? So just this part of it, ignore the rest. H plus in brackets by itself means concentration of hydrogen ions. The pH is the negative of the base 10 logarithm of that concentration. All right? Now, about this 7, when you actually measure in a true sample of pure water, the concentration of hydrogen ions that are there, which have to be there only from autoionization of water, since it's pure water. Those hydrogen ions aren't coming from anywhere else. They're coming from water molecules. And when you measure that concentration, what you see is that in pure water, the hydrogen ion concentration, H plus in brackets, equals 1 times 10 to the negative 7th molar. Which you could express as 0.0000001 molar, right? But in scientific notation, it's 1 times 10 to the negative 7th. Good with that? Okay, now let's just do this stepwise. What would be the base 10 log of this number? 1 times 10 to the negative 7th, which is the same as 10 to the negative 7th. No.
Negative log.
I said, what's the log of it?
Oh, negative
7. Negative 7. This is why we make pH a negative logarithmic scale, so we don't have to go through the pain in the ass of always writing negative. We're going to be always using very small numbers, which will be 10 to the negative something. And why write negative over and over when you're always going to have to?
So make
it make the definition of the p scale a negative log instead. The log is negative 7, therefore the negative of the log is positive 7. Easier to work with. So 7 is not something we chose. 7 comes from real measurements of actual water. That's why it's neutral. And you can go above 7 or below 7 numerically. 0 isn't the limit, by the way, and 14 is not the limit. But 0 to 14 covers nearly all solutions that you're ever going to encounter. Okay? But since it's a logarithmic scale, that means something that has a pH of 6, one step away from 7, is that one step is not the same size as a step from 6 to 5. Actually, I should say that step is the same, but the step from 5 to 7 versus 5 to 6 is 100 times is 10 times bigger. Okay, now if you have pure water, it's not acidic or basic. It's pH of 7, but solutions, meaning water plus solutes, can also be neutral. And you've heard about acids and bases. The solution is either acidic or basic. Acids and bases are compounds that if you put them into water and dissolve them, they either increase the hydrogen ion concentration, in the case of acids, or they increase the concentration of hydroxide ions, in the case of bases. So you already have hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions in pure water, right? But because pure water can't produce one kind without also producing the other, in pure water you have exactly the same amount of each, same concentration of hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions. Well, if you add an acid to water, in addition to those hydrogen ions that you already have from autoionization of water, the acid, which is a hydrogen-containing compound, is going to dissociate. It's going to lose a proton from that hydrogen, and whatever's left is going to be in solution, but so is the proton, a hydrogen ion. So the acid adds additional hydrogen ions to the overall solution, and therefore the concentration goes up. Okay? Well, let's say you have pure water, which has a hydrogen ion concentration of 10 to the negative 7th molar. And let's say you add an acid to that. Enough acid for the hydrogen ion concentration to be 10 times as much as it was in pure water. Well, what is 10 times as much as 10 to the negative 7th?
10 to the negative 6th.
Right, 10 to the negative 6th. Remember that 10 to the negative 7th is 0.000001. 10 times bigger than that is only 5 zeros and then a 1, right? Which is 10 to the negative 6th. Everyone clear on that? 10 to the negative 6th is 10 times bigger than 10 to the negative 7th. So what's the negative log of 10 to the negative 6th? 6. The log would be negative 6. The negative log is therefore 6. And this is why not only is the pH scale centered on 7, but solutions are considered more and more acidic as the value goes down, because down on the scale means more and more hydrogen ions, because we've defined it as a negative log. You see that? 10 to the negative 6th molar concentration of hydrogen ions means it has 10 times as many hydrogen ions in it as pure water does. If you have 10 times that, it would be 10 to the negative 5th, right? So the pH would be 5. A pH of 5 solution has 10 times more hydrogen ions than a pH of 6, but it has 100 times more than a pH of 7, because it's two steps. That's where it's not a linear scale. It's a logarithmic scale. Just like the metric system once was logarithmic, right? They don't go up by even amounts. They go up by orders of magnitude. And therefore, if you go all the way down to pH of 0, that's 7 orders of magnitude. That would be 10 million times as concentrated in hydrogen ions as pure water would be, because 10 to the 7th is 10 million. Everyone good? Mm-hmm. Now, a base, go ahead.
What does that mean, 0 has a molar mass of 1?
No, it has nothing to do with molar mass. It means concentration. Yeah, a pH of 0 means that the concentration would be 1 molar, the concentration of hydrogen ions, which is a hell of a lot high concentration, which is why that solution would be so acidic.
Oh, yeah.
Very dangerous stuff. A base works the same way except with hydroxide ions. So a base is a compound that has OH in it, and when you put it into water, the OH dissociates from the rest. You have two solutes, basically, the rest and the OH. And those OH, those hydroxide ions in solution, are in addition to the ones that pure water already had, and therefore the hydroxide ion concentration is very high. The hydrogen ion concentration is comparatively low. And that's because, I don't want to get too far into it, but that's because some of those hydroxide ions that you're adding from the base will take up hydrogen ions that came from water to form water. Hydroxide and hydrogen ions form water, just like water splits into the two. So some of those hydroxide ions from the base will simply turn the protons into water, and you still have some leftover hydroxide ions. All right? Now, why is this so important to... Well, before we talk about that, slide 10 shows you some familiar examples of things in your life and what their pH is. For instance, notice that gastric juice, this digestive fluid that your stomach produces, has a pH of 2 or even lower. Numerically lower pH means stronger acidity. Keep that in mind. So a pH of 2 is very acidic already, and it can get even below that. And this is why your stomach is by far the most inhospitable place in your body, as far as things living in and on you. You know, that's why we swallow periodically throughout the day. We're breathing in not only debris, non-living stuff. Some of that debris, though, is living stuff, bacteria from the air, or not actually living, but things that could hurt you anyway, like viruses. Those things stick to the mucus of your epithelium of your trachea, so that they don't make it all the way into your lungs. And that mucus is continuously swept up toward your throat, and you swallow that mucus throughout the day. That's a good thing, because you're putting those potentially harmful bacteria and other things into the place that's hardest for them to survive because of the low pH, and it kills most of them. It's the garbage disposal of your body, basically. But anyway, just always keep in mind that numerically lower on the pH scale means higher acidity. When you go above 7, it's not an acidic solution, it's an alkaline or basic solution, just the opposite.
Jeez, lemon juice so hot, it's so low down there.
Well, lemon juice is acidic, though. I mean, that's what makes it sour tasting to us.
Oh.
Acidity, we sense as sourness. Now, in 11, we can see just how much pH can matter. Not just in this particular example, but to organisms in general. We've talked about homeostasis, which is maintenance of variables within tolerable limits, right? It's all kinds of different variables. But there are two very important variables that we'll talk about periodically. And those are temperature and pH. The reason those two are particularly important is that I keep telling you that proteins do all the important things in cells. Proteins are involved in all biological processes. They have a huge variety of functions that we're going to talk about, but they have those functions. Whatever an individual protein's function is, it has that function. It's able to do that particular job because of the particular shape the protein has. And if it doesn't have that shape anymore, it's no longer to work at least as well, if at all. All right, so shape or conformation of proteins is really important. Well, temperature by itself or pH by itself as a variable doesn't have to change very much from the optimum value for the shape of proteins to drastically change. And therefore, that's why major parts of homeostasis are thermostasis, maintenance of proper temperature, and also maintenance of proper pH. Okay? Because the aqueous solution chemistry that is life is affected by pH. We can see the effect here, and I hope I don't have to tell you that this forest is not healthy. This is a very sick forest, and this is the result of acid precipitation. We usually call it acid rain, but actually, it could be acid snow, for that matter. Anything that's falling that is acidified is bad, particularly for the plants, which is bad for everyone because we can't live without the plants. So the acid doesn't have to be produced here. It could be some other part of the country, but it typically involves pollutants. For instance, sulfur-containing compounds get spewed into the air from factories or from diesel trucks. Those sulfur-containing compounds, once they're in the air, encounter water that's in the air, humidity, and the sulfur-containing compounds react with the water to form sulfuric acid, which is why what would normally be just normal rain, we would call it, becomes acid rain. It's acidified water, not water anymore, it's a solution. But it's an acidic solution that falls on the plants and affects the proteins. And without proteins functioning properly, the organism can't function. All right, any questions before I switch chapters?
No.